What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Sitting Ringside. This is episode 122. As always, I'm your host, Robert Villa. And always with me, my co-host, David Rodriguez, Mark Ambu Miller, and producer of the show, Rudy Lara. How's it going, fellas?
What's up?
How's it going?
What's happening, guys?
Hey, another Thursday night with the boys, talking combat sports and everything else that's under the sun. Well, we try to, but you know, time always catches up to us.
Well, specifically this week and what's been going on inside and outside the cave, you probably could fill a total 3 hour, like the biggest show we've ever done. But
oh my god, dude, it's a banger. Well, let's not waste any more time. Rundown of what's going to happen tonight and over the weekend. But quick shout out to Foxhound Fuel. Go to foxhoundfuel.com, buy your supplements, use our discount code, you get 20% off. Our discount code is, in all caps, FBMMA. And also, if you're into betting, go to raisedbet.com. Use our promo code, FIGHTBOOK, with the capital F and B. You get some good perks with raisedbet.com. Also, shout out to UMMAF and all our partners under the tab there. You can see who we are affiliated with other promotions, like Brave One, Cage Steel. Soon we are going to be featured inside the cage in a promotion, but I can't say who yet, but it's coming. Also shout out to Chop Heads MMA. Go to their podcast. They got some good shit. They talk MMA and wrestling. They are
Tommy D, that guy.
He gave me a nice congrats the other day.
Oh yeah, Tommy D. He's part of the that new organization, Backyard Booty Brawls or something.
No, they were really nice to me the other day in their podcast. They gave me a nice congratulations for being a co-host to you guys. So shout out to Gooch, Sturch, and Tommy D for being really nice, and saying congrats for being a co-host with you guys now. So thank you guys.
Yeah, they show a lot of love to Fight Book MMA and to Sitting Ringside. So obviously we got to give the love return to them. So also tonight, guys, we have Cyrus Fees. He's ring announcer for Dana White's Contender Series, host of Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, play-by-play commentator for none other than Eagle FC. We're going to talk to him about his career and what he likes to do outside of the combat sports world. Get to know Mr. Fee. So I can't wait to get him on the show. He will be on in the next, I don't know, about 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, ring announcers have to be my favorite people to talk to on the show. We've talked to a lot of people, you know, fighters. I like refs and ring announcers. Those are guys that have the coolest stories, man.
Right, they do, man, because they see everything behind the scenes, man, that not everybody else does. So it's they got some stories, man. They're the bomb. Well, we have some a lot of action going on. Starting tomorrow, we have Cage Warriors 133. And also CES MMA 66, another promotion that we are affiliated with. And our boy, Jared Kelly, is going to be covering that event. Speaking of covering event, our boy across the pond, Emmett Glenn, was killing it at Bellator in London last weekend. If you haven't seen, I think the Conor McGregor interview, it's already at, I don't know, 12K views or something crazy. So
no, last I checked, 12 billion.
Oh, shit.
It's approaching billion. Approaching 12 billion. We're talking Justin Holy Bieber shit. Type numbers.
Yep.
Really? They have to say Bieber? Come on. Fuck off, David. Come on, really?
Hey, don't be jealous.
No, fucking
so
Bieber,
we are going to have a live results during the CES MMA since Jared Kelly will be on out there. So go to fightbookmma.com, look up CES MMA 66, and you can follow along
live
the live results.
March 4th, Bally's Twin River Lincoln Casino, and also on UFC Fight Pass.
Yes, sir. Also, PFL Challenger Series 3. It's going to be happening tomorrow as well. And then on Saturday, live on Fight, the next two events, it's a Muay Thai for Life 2.0 That's happening, Rage in the Cage, OKC 86. And of course, the big card, UFC 272.
And also, also need not forget our buddy Antonio Arregas throwing down again. He made way, I think the weigh-ins were earlier today. So shout out to him making you know, that mock, man. He's staying consistent, staying on it, man. Shout out to him and his pops, man. Those guys are doing their thing out there. So
hell yeah, man. Fightbook MMA is really proud to have him on under our banner and under our sponsorship. You know, he always hits me up. Hey, you're gonna be able to sponsor me. I never say no to the kid. I always say, hell yeah, man. You just let me know and we're going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what Sitting Ringside and Fightbook MMA is all about, you know, especially with Antonio. I mean, this guy is, he's.
Dude, I knew the second I saw that kid just walking by, I was like, there's something about this kid. Let me stop him and talk to him.
If it wasn't for Rudy to introduce Fightbook to him and Sitting Ringside, we wouldn't even know this kid existed.
Yeah, just keep an eye out for that kid. He's definitely going places. I mean, since we've talked to him, I mean, I can't even count how many fights he's had, and he's had a lot, and he's won them all.
and pretty much finished the fights in the first or even the second round.
Yeah, man.
By KO, TKO, so yeah.
And before we knew him, before Rudy met him, he already had like 10 belts, but, you know, eventually down the road, he may have like 7 world titles over time, so... Definitely shout out to Antonio Arregas out there, man, doing his thing.
Hell yeah. So keep an eye out on Antonio Arregas, man. This kid is going to be the next world champ pretty soon. So so speaking of boxing, we have in Fresno, California, Jose Ramirez versus Jose Pedraza. Also, RBK Boxing Night 2 live on Fight. Damian Nava versus Knife Didier. The next 4 events are going to be live on Fight, which you can actually go to fightbookmma.com and watch those events there. Slap Fight Championship 15 Armageddon. That's another another promotion that's pretty close to Fightbook MMA. So we'll be having those results as well. Pound for Pound, the Beatdown. That's actually happening on March 4th. And then the next 2 on Saturday.
Chocolatino.
What the fuck is this shit, dude? Fury versus White? Who the fuck is White, dude? I don't want to see Fury versus White. What is that bullshit?
Dylan White. He waited to the last second. He literally waited to the last fucking minute to sign that fucking contract.
Yeah, I don't want to see that, though. That's my point, man. That's my point. Is I don't want
to
see that.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, we're supposed to get Fury versus Ngannou this year or next year.
And then the talks of Tyson Fury saying, like, this it may in fact be his last fight because Bob Arum has made him too much money. So on the long side of money, I mean, he is the GOAT. I mean, the guy was named after Mike Tyson. And became the fucking GOAT. What is the odds of that happening?
That's not his real name, apparently.
I don't know. Possible fake news.
Well, the next.
I still think we're gonna get Ngannou versus Fury next year.
And your boy Canelo. Year. Canelo's fighting B-Ball in Cinco de Mayo weekend.
Yes, sir.
Yep. And then Triple G in September.
Hopefully they do. Yeah, there is possible. Well, Canelo
Triple G's fighting in April 9th. He's fighting Ryota Murata at the Super Arena.
Sooner
in Japan.
Than that, yeah, that's right.
Okay. But they are. But that's part of his 2-part deal with DAZN is Triple G's the second fight in September.
Nice.
So
nice. Well, let me finish up here, guys. The 2 next events also is from the same promotion. One's going to be in an earlier time, and the other one later time. It's the Big Time Boxing. Kane Watts versus Russell and Drapak versus Whitelaw. And then on DAZN in San Diego, California, Roman Gonzalez versus Julio Cesar Martinez. And in the Czech Republic, we have Michael Riba versus Josef Jirko. Oh, so that's a lot of fighting starting tomorrow.
Yeah, and like I said, if you don't keep up with all of it, tweet about it, watch every single minute, second, and round. You're not a real fan.
Yep.
That's the way it goes.
Oh, shit. So I'm going to send the link out to Mr. Sire so that way he can get ready and jump on. And but
yeah, I guess before
we wait for him, let's go ahead and give the grade from the last UFC event, guys.
Yes, sir. Starting with you, Mr. Mark Ambu?
Yeah, Canadian first.
I don't know. I don't even know if I have a grade for that. I'm still kind of... I enjoyed the card. It was all right, but... six.
Favorite fight of the night? Joe Alvarez and Armin Sarukian, right? No, not quite.
I don't even have a favorite fight of the night. No favorite fight of the night.
Yeah, Rudy Lara, though, Armin Sarukian and Joel Alvarez, we all kind of were siding with Joel Alvarez, but, man, am I never picking against Armin Sarukian. Never again. Oh,
that dude's a badass, bro.
I fucked up my night of picks. I was straight up like 8-0 leading into that fight. So after that, it kind of went downhill, but I think I did like still like 9-12, though. I didn't do too bad. But, yeah, never again picking against Armin Sarukian. The guy is a fucking animal, man.
Yeah, that dude's an animal, bro. That was a great fight. I enjoyed the Ji-Young Kim and Priscilla Cachera fight. Those chicks, they were beating the shit out of each other.
They threw down. Looks like our guest is joining us. That was a good one.
Let's see. Right on. Mr. Cyrus, can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm here, guys.
Right on. Excellent. Well, welcome to the show. This is Sitting Ringside. As you can tell, I'm Robert. I've been talking to you for like forever. trying to get this scheduled on for you to come on and jump on with the show. But obviously, you were busy the last, 3 weeks. So you're traveling around the world.
It's fight season, bro. It's fight season, right?
Yeah. The fight season doesn't end, too. So, yeah.
No doubt.
Well, guys, go ahead and tell us who you are, or tell the fans who you are, what you've been up to, and that way everybody that's watching or listening can get a quick feel of who you are, man.
Yeah, man. I've been in this game for about, seems like about 15 years now. I ring announce for a number of different shows, and I do play-by-play as well. So I ring announce, I just got done doing Dana White's Contender Series. So that was kind of a long journey getting there, which was pretty sick. I currently ring announce, for UAE Warriors, over in Abu Dhabi. So I do all their shows and I do play by play for them as well in the same night. I get that shit done like a champ. I do play by play for Eagle FC. Excited for that job, man. We're looking forward to the event coming up on the 11th. It's going to be a lot of fun. I do play-by-play for them. Currently, I'm hosting for Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. We just did Knuckle Mania. So they got me in the same role that they had Ron Kruk for a long time, basically setting everything up, opening the show, doing interviews. And I really like it, man. Super cool role. And just love the production value, bro. Like, Bare Knuckle is it's really amazing, man. It really is. Like, I've actually enjoyed the production value of that more than I did Dana White's Contender Series. Like, the way they do things is like really sick, like very tight. So yeah, man, I got a lot of good gigs right now, but right now, you know, Bare Knuckle, Eagle, Contender Series coming up in the summer. I should be going back there as well. And then UAE Warriors, man, I'm blessed, bro. It's wonderful.
I know you mentioned, the production value of BKFC, they recently got bought out by Triller, or they got Triller's a part of them now. Do you think that's going to change at all?
Yeah, I don't think that I don't think you're going to lose any production value. If anything,
I think it's going to get better.
Yeah, right. So that's kind of what David Feldman talked about. He's like, listen, you know, we've taken this thing as far as we can by ourselves, which has been pretty impressive, you know, to be honest, man. I think when this thing first came around, I think everybody kind of wrote it off, kind of some bullshit, like it'll do a few shows, you know, and maybe that's where it'll end. But, man, they've hung around and they've signed some big people, become contenders for free agents. And I think you put that Triller money on that, on top of that, I think that's going to equal bigger names. I think
Triller concerts.
Yeah, why not, bro? Like, I'm so jealous. You know, Sean Wheelock's a buddy of mine, man. He's a real good dude, you know, great play-by-play guy. And him doing all the Triller stuff, and Ray Flores too.
Yep.
I work with Ray with Eagle.
Ray is a really, really good friend of ours.
He's been on our show quite a bit.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah, he's a cool guy, man.
I met Ray at the Canelo versus Franklin fight in Houston.
Yeah.
And but I've been talking to him way before then. But yeah, man, Ray's been on our show a couple times. He's a fucking
humble
badass
dude, man. He's a humble dude. Very, very talented.
Yeah, and his little brother. His little brother, too.
Yeah, I saw that, man. That's the dream, right, man? I wish my brother, you know, cared about that. You know what I mean? Like, I wish he was into something like that. He's off in China teaching and doing all this other shit, but he's awesome in his own right. But I would love to have somebody underneath me ring announce, and that'd be sick. But, yeah, man, so like I said, you know, things are sick right now, and bare knuckle, like, that was the last thing I did. Well, UAE Warriors was, but bare knuckle, like, when I did that Knuckle Mania, and that's the biggest show of the year for them. So it was like their WrestleMania, you know, so it's pretty dope.
Yeah,
that was a great show. I watched the entire thing. It was good start to finish, man.
It's such a good product, right? Like, it's, you know, it's so fast. It, like, totally fits the ADD society that we have. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They want quick shit. They want finishes. Well, you're basically going to get that every time with Knuckle Mania, you know, with bare knuckle. So it kind of works.
Someone's going to bleed.
No, a lot.
A lot.
a lot.
So I can't remember the fight. It just, I think every fight was bloody on that card. It was the Christine Fajeda fight.
Yeah.
Oh, and Bryn man.
Hart. Yeah.
She just busted her up in that first round. It was a bad cut.
Fajeda's really good, bro. I mean, she's like very seasoned, you know, and Britain's made big strides, but you go up against a seasoned boxer like that, it's tough, man. Even if you're getting better, she just seemed to be on a better level that night. You know what I mean? Like, kind of a step above. So, but I'll shout out to Britain, though. She's dope. She's very, very cool.
Yep.
So,
What do you got for me, bro?
I want to know, like, because I know you posted on Facebook, you know, how excited you were. Like, you finally got the deal that you've been waiting for to ring announce with the UFC. I mean, like, tell us how you felt the moment that you got either the text, the phone call, the email, and you're like, how?
Well, you know, man, it's really validating, you know, man. Like, there's only a few spots, you know. You have a lot of ring announcers out there. With ring announcers, it's more competitive than play-by-play because like, there's a lot of guys out there that can have a good voice that can deliver. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, you know, myself, and there's probably like 10, 12 of us that are kind of a cut above that can really do the shit proficiently and do decisions correctly and have that sort of flow that, you know what I mean, that can carry a whole event. But that's still 12 guys. Now with play-by-play, it's like, it's even smaller than that. You know, play-by-play, there's like 5 or 6 guys that are really like high level that are getting it done. You know what I mean? Man, it was very validating. That's how I started my career, was with ring announcing. That's kind of what I wanted to do right out of the gate. I wanted to be the next, you know, Howard Finkel, you know what I'm saying, from WWF or one of those guys, or, you know, or one of the buffers, et cetera. But it's been a long road, and to get the UFC nod, even if it was Contender Series, it means a lot. There's only been like, what, 4 guys that have ever like ever ring announced for the UFC, maybe 5 or 6, you know, because I know they had a guy like that first event that wasn't Buffer. I think maybe there's one guy before Buffer, and then I think there's been like 5 people in the whole history of the UFC, and to say that I'm like one of those guys, man, that means a lot, you know. But it was a long work in progress, because I don't know if you guys remember the video, but he came over to UAE Warriors, Dana did, and I was able, just in passing, because, you know, I do play-by-play and ring announcing, so I have no time, you know, like I'm going straight from the cage, straight to the headset. But I saw Dana there chilling with Habib and with Dean Thomas and Matt Serra, and I was like, all right, I was like, I'm going to shoot my shot, you know, because he's there. I got to say something to him. So I had no idea, and this is real talk, I had no idea I was on camera, but I just walked by him and I said, hey, Dana, I said, I know you're looking for fighters. I said, but you need to be looking for an announcer too, you know, just like that. And he was like, kind of taken back. He's like, holy shit, who the fuck is this guy? You know what I mean?
Who's this goofball?
Just to come up to the Don like that. You know? But he was like, he's like, well, dude, he goes, we're always looking for people. And he's like, and you're really good. He goes, and I'm not just saying that. He goes, you are really good. And I said, okay, I appreciate that. And then Matt Serra says on the video, because it ended up on Looking for a Fight. And then Matt Serra goes, now he's wishing that Bruce Buffer gets COVID. You know what I mean? That's what he said. Like, made a joke out of it, which I would never do. But but anyways, I started sharing that everywhere on Twitter. Every like MMA guy that I've come across, I was like, listen, share this shit. you know, give me my chance with the UFC. And it just kind of picked up steam. I reached out to the UFC producers and just said, hey, listen, Dana kind of gave me the seal of approval. Like, if you ever need somebody, let me know. And I really did straight up say, you know, you ought to use a ring announcer for Contender Series. Like, if you ever do that, hit me up. Because before that, all they had was Laura doing it. And Laura's the shit. I love Laura. Like, real talk. She's fantastic. But she's not a ring announcer. And she'll tell you she's not a ring announcer. So I was like, man, y'all need a ring announcer. And, you know, it kind of came to pass. And they reached out. And I was like, all right, let's do this shit. But I was competitive. I was like, I want to do every show. But they split it up between me and Justin Bernard, who's a very good dude. I looked at that dude straight up as competition early on. I was like, man, I hope he fucks up. You know what I mean? Like, really, I mean, you have to be that way, right? You know, I was like, man, I hope this dude stutters and fucking, yeah. But no, he's a super good dude. Much love to the guy. I think he ended up doing 5 shows. I did 3 of them. You know, it was all good, bro. Like, it was really cool. You know, but they told me to tone my shit down, which was crazy because you guys know Carlos Kramer's. That's my guy.
That's our buddy, man.
We love the roaring lion, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Like you can't tell Carlos Kramer to tone it down anything.
No.
You know what I mean? And I don't even get fired up as much as he does, but I have a certain style and I like to bring a show to it. And they're like, listen, all that shit you do, tone that way down, like go to 50%. So that was really hard. You know, like I really had to tone my shit down. It was weird. You know what I mean?
That is weird.
But yeah, I mean, it's just what they want. You know, it's the Apex. Wasn't a lot of people in attendance. They didn't want the ring announcer to like try to steal the show or do anything crazy. So I toned my shit down, but
they wanted you to do a Joe Martinez.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, Joe's like, I have mentors in this business and Joe's my number one guy, right?
Oh, he's the fucking bomb, dude.
I think Joe, like, I prefer Joe Martinez to Bruce Buffer, and Bruce is cool with me as well. But Joe is the smoothest motherfucker on earth when it comes to ring announcing. Like, nobody's smoother than Joe Martinez. The way it rolls off his tongue and the way he changes up his words, and it's just like, he's just smooth, man. He's a real deal, bro. He's my number one for sure.
I became a fan of his when he started working for WEC.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I started watching him and ringing, I was like, man, I like Martinez, man. This guy is fucking dope. He just walks up there all nice and casual.
Yeah.
And then the way he pronounced the names, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, he's the dude, man. And, you know, Ray and I are kind of like, you know how like there's always like a tree of coaches, like with NFL coaches, and there's like that tree of people. Like, we're under the Joe tree. Both of us are, you know. Oh, nice. So there's been times when Joe's given us gigs, both of us, to kind of help us with our career. You know, like, he helped me get a minor league baseball job, like helped me through that whole process. Like, he's just done a lot of cool shit for me, man. Like, I can always count on him. So all the love in the world for Joe, man. I think he's the GOAT. He's my guy. You know what I mean? For sure. Love that dude.
Yeah. Hey, and Cyrus too, man, how did I know you were right there in front of the man, like you said, in front of the Don and Khabib, how did the relationship with Eagle FC come about? Because, I mean, you got a full schedule. It's kind of cool that you're able to go to different organizations and have that role. And like you said, have the mentors, you have people in place. Like, where did the Eagle FC relationship start?
So Mark Goddard got me started on that. Like, I've been real tight with Mark since I've worked over in UAE, and he's kind of like their top ref. And he reached out to me on WhatsApp and he's like, reach out to this dude with Eagle FC. And at the time, I didn't know anything about the US shit. All I knew was about Russia. And I was like, man, I've already done the Russian thing. So like, I worked for ACB, now ACA, for like about a year and a half. I worked for Fight Nights Global. So I did a lot of Russia stuff, and I've traveled a lot. Like, I've hit 26 countries. I've been
Mr.
everywhere.
International.
Yeah, I mean, I earned that shit, right? You know, like, I earned it. But the thing is, I got a family now. So it's like, I'm not trying to be overseas all the time anymore. So when he told me about that, I was like, all right, well, I'll reach out. But at the same time, I'm not trying to be in Russia once a month. Like, I'm good, you know, like, that's a hard trip. And some of the places they go to, like, it's even harder. So I was like, man, I'm not trying to do that. But then it kind of dried up because I even told him, I said, listen, I'll do it remotely. I'll do play-by-play remotely from the house. I said, I got all the equipment to do it. I was like, but I don't know if I want to go to Russia all the time. So it just dried up. And I was like, all right, well, that's not going to happen. Well, then they hit me up, you know, about 3 months ago, 4 months ago. And they're like, listen, we're doing this in America. We're doing Miami. I'm like, oh shit, sign me up. Miami, like, let's go, you know, like in a studio in Miami, like, you know, once every 6 weeks, you know, whatever. I'm like, yeah, let's ride, man. Like, I love this shit. And I've loved it ever since. Like, it is such a cool situation. Like, if you guys ever get a chance to go down, I'll get you guys tickets, whatever. I'll hook you up. No problem. It's like a VIP. Sweet. Yeah, no problem. If you ever come down to Miami, let me know. But it's beautiful, man. The whole studio, they basically bought a whole movie studio and turned it in to like their own Apex with a full staff, full video staff, full fight staff, training facilities. Nice. Like, all the,
what? It's incredible. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't
they
know
have
that
a
either.
Major, bro, we're talking a major investment. I mean, there's a lot of money behind this. Like, really. So that's when people say, you know, fuck it, it'll go away. It ain't going away. I mean, they got too much money behind this. It's going to be around for a minute, and they get that shit done, dude. And, like, look at my commentary team. Chael Sonnen, Henry Cejudo, Kamaru Usman. What?
Yeah, like, when you invest that kind of money in an organization, I don't think it's going to be a feeder organization like most people think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but, you know, obviously Khabib has so many connections, and Rizvan, who's their CEO, has so many connections, and Ali, you know, Ali is probably the most dominant, no pun intended, manager in the entire business right now. I mean, when you really look at who he has under his wing. So, you know, obviously the UFC is going to get who the UFC is going to get. It's not like Islam's coming over. You know what I mean? It's not like Khamzat's coming over, but we're going to get the up and coming guys out of Russia, bro, that like, that Khabib sees on his radar and says, all right, bring this guy over. And we got a couple of them already, man, that are some real bad dudes, man, for sure.
Yeah, and then as far as you, like you said, the difficulty of even traveling to Russia previous to what we're going through now, what they're going through with Ukraine, the war. I mean, like I said, that's a rough trip, but them investing and having their Apex type setup down there in Miami, did not know that, but kind of looked that way, seeing like the lead up, the interviews with Chael. Like you said, you're working with a lot of top dogs, so yeah, you're in the mix now.
Yeah, awesome. Man, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that, you know. So I mean, and every time I tell people, they're like, "Oh shit!" Like they're doing it like that. It's like, man, they're doing it like that. Like this shit is like high tech. They got people from like, you know, HBO Boxing and PBC, and as far as their production, I mean, it's you walk in there and you know this is the real deal. You know what I mean?
They should do an Eagle FC. What was that show the UFC had, where everybody get
Ultimate
in the house
Fighter?
And fight Ultimate Fighter?
Ultimate Fighter.
Ultimate
Fighter.
Ultimate Fighter, yeah, that'd be dope. I mean, I think they got a lot of options. They got the Flex app, which is free. You can watch everything for free, and they're trying to get a lot of content on there. So there's no telling what they're going to come up with, man. I mean, keep your eyes peeled. There could be some crazy shit for sure.
Nice, man. That's, you know, when I was watching their first event that they did in Miami, and I was, you know, sitting down from my laptop watching the fights, and I was like, fuck, man. For being their first show in the United States and that type of production and the way they did everything, I mean, they did do some things like how the UFC does, you know, before their fights, they had their, you know, their interviews with each fighter and this and that. And but as far as like production wise, like you're saying, man, I was blown away. Yeah. I was like, man, Khabib is, he knows what the fuck he's doing. And even though he said that he didn't after the first event, you know, I think he tweeted or posted somewhere saying, you know, I gotta sit down with Dana so he can give me some more pointers. You know, that says a lot about Khabib and how down to earth he is, you know, reaching out to Dana White to give him some kind of pointers for the event. But yeah, man, Eagle FC is, it's they're going to become number two, if not number one soon.
Yeah, I think so, man. They got a lot of hype behind them. It's a fun show. Like I said, they got all of us commentators together. Of course, they got Ray Ring announcing who's the beast, and they got us all together. And they're like, listen, talk about the fights like you're sitting at the house talking about them, like you're sitting at the bar talking about them. Like they wanted to be a little bit different. They don't want me doing the, you know, some Mike Goldberg lines and shit. You know what I mean? Like, and I love Mike Goldberg too. But they don't want that style. Like they want it to be something different. But shit, man, being a promoter is and a matchmaker. I mean, you talk to anybody that does that work.
It's rough.
It is. Yeah. It is some selfless fucking man, bang your head against the wall type of shit, bro. Like it's, I don't, man, I wouldn't wish that upon anybody. Like it's a hard ass job, bro.
100%. It is. You know, so I'm part of the marketing team for Valor BK for Ken Shamrock.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every week, you know, we have like 4 to 5 conference calls that we have to go through to, you know, for BBK too.
Yeah.
And just to listen through the matchmaking conference call, the branding conference call, the marketing, I'm like, God damn. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot that goes behind the scene that not everybody thinks, oh, I'll just get a cage, rent a venue, throw some fighters in there, pay them this much and let's go.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, the fighters got the easiest job.
Not when you have to sell tickets and shit too, man. And you know, making sure all your fighters get their blood done, making sure they get their physicals done. When they say, fuck, I don't want to fight this guy, or they're not on weight. I mean, like that by itself, just managing fighters, you know, we love these guys. We love what they do, but man, you got some crazy personalities, man. I mean, to be able to lock yourself into a cage or to take off the gloves and fight. First of all, you got to have a screw loose just a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, shit. You know, I mean, it amazes me still to this day when they lock that cage. I'm like, man, hell no. You know, sometimes I ring announce and I'll be doing like a regional show and they'll lock that shit before I even leave. And I'm like, fuck, no, man, open that shit up. No, no, not today, man.
Yeah. When you said about screw loose, I mean, I can attest to that because I used to fight and
Oh, did okay, okay.
Yeah, so it was.
It takes a special person, man. It takes a special person. Man, it's,
I love the adrenaline. I love hitting people, and I don't mind getting hit. I mean, it's all, you know.
But now Roberto loves tacos even more.
I do. I love me my tacos, man.
That's a fact.
Oh, shit.
But I've definitely heard the matchmaking woes and like problems just on like small level, like local shows, like people that I know. So I can imagine it, you know, Eagle FC, Bellator, the big names, the PFL. So yeah, you're definitely right on point with that. And hey, you're right in the mix. And like you said, better not lock that cage door up before you get out of there. You got a job to do. You ain't fighting.
No, not me, man.
You're not fighting in one of those Russian promotions where it's like a 5-on-5 or something like that.
Oh shit! Yeah. You know, we did, man. If you look up, I don't know, it was on Rogan a lot. The clip comes around Facebook every once in a while, but it was 2-on-2, and it was like American Ninja Warrior type shit where they had the obstacles.
Yep.
So, yeah, we've seen that.
So a buddy of mine. So I used to have a TV show back in the day, like 2010 to like 2015. And we ended up getting syndicated and doing all this shit. But the reason how I made all my connections and how I got to where I'm at is because I started showing highlights from all over the world, like South Africa, Abu Dhabi, Romania, et cetera, et cetera. And we would get all these highlights because nobody else would show them. Not even Access TV was showing them with Inside MMA. So we were getting all kinds of shit. But we put the 2-on-2 stuff on and it started getting lots of hits. Well, we ended up contacting those guys and we brought them over. We built our own arena, $50,000, no joke, put it up in Virginia, which is one state away from where I live in Tennessee. And we actually had the first ever 2-on-2 show on American soil that's ever been done, you know, like with the obstacles and everything. Google that shit. Yeah, it's called Arena Combat. Google that shit.
Oh yeah,
I put it on YouTube. It's hilarious. I mean, but it was sick. I mean, that's just one of the things that I've been able to do in this business over the last 15 years, but that was probably the wildest shit I've ever done. I mean,
I did matchmake that.
And there was 10 fights. So you're talking about 40 fighters, 10 Jesus fights, Christ. Trying to keep all those wild asses in line and getting all their stuff done. Nah.
Oh my God. You're probably like, I don't care how much you pay me.
We love stuff like that, man. We got some buddies out in Thailand that do what, Fight Circus.
Oh, bro, John Nutt.
Yeah,
the squad,
bro. There you go.
Yeah. Buddies.
John Nutt's the dude, man. I love that guy, man. I love what they're doing. I love all of it. People that don't like that shit and they go on their tangent, nah, it's bad for the sport. Man, all that. Let's have fun, man.
Let's have fun.
How about I don't want to watch your show that looks like a fucking third-rate UFC with the same shit. You know what I mean? Like, do something different.
Bro. Dude, I used to like watching X-Arm, you know, when they tie two people up to the the arm wrestling table and they beat the shit out of each other. That shit is awesome, dude. And recently, what is it? The pillow fighting championship? Holy crap. I was actually, I sat there and watched that. It was fucking hilarious.
So we actually have the CEO of Pillow Fight coming on next week as our guest.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Is it Frank Morjon, or who is it?
Yeah, Frank. He reached out to me on LinkedIn. I was like, wait, what? Who's this guy? I accepted it, and I'm like, hey, thanks for the connection. He's all, oh, thank you, and blah, blah, blah. So then I was like, do you want to be a guest on our podcast next Thursday? He's like, hell yeah.
Free publicity? Yeah, awesome. Shit, let's go. No, I like it, man. I mean, it's different. It's different. But I dig it. Yeah. Like, it's different. Man, why not try it, bro? I like all of it, man. It's to take a chance like that and just do the damn thing and make it look nice. Hey, I'm down with it.
I think the grand prize was like $5,000. Shit, sign me up, dude. I'll make an easy $5,000. Hitting somebody with a fucking pillow.
All right, yeah.
Go for it.
Right? Hey, and then there's Carjitsu. I don't know if you've seen that, Cyrus.
What now? Car-jitsu. I don't know about Carjitsu. That sounds like, now. Hold on now. What's Carjitsu?
So they put the two fighters in the front seat, and you can use anything inside the car: seatbelt, whatever you can put your hands on to choke out the other person.
I gotta say, that sounds fucking stupid, but I would watch the hell out of that.
Of course you would, man. We'd all watch it.
Nah. I have seen the video of it, and it looks crazy as fuck. Yeah. Honestly, it really does look crazy.
Wow. It's car juice. And then they do have rules. They obviously don't put like a white belt against the blue belt. You got to be in the same belt.
I'm assuming no smoking in the car.
Yeah, there has to be no smoking. Yeah.
Yeah. So car jitsu, man. Car-jitsu. That's a thing.
Like what?
It's like high rollers. I think that high rollers thing's crazy, man. I love that shit. Where everybody's just smoking up, everybody's fucking doing jujitsu, like they're having fun. Like, man, I think it's cool that jujitsu is getting all the press that they're getting right now, to be honest with you. Like, I just think it's sick that like there's such a following for it now. There's a bunch of different promotions. Submission Underground's dope. But just all this shit, man, I think it's incredible. People know who Gordon Ryan is. You know what I mean? Like, they know these guys now. I think it's, that just shows you how popular MMA really is, to where people are like getting into the fucking granular shit about it, and like they're like, I want to fucking watch the best jujitsu. That's really cool shit. I love it, man. Anytime it gets more eyes on the sport, that's what's up.
Hell yeah, man. You should, once we're done here, man, you should Google or YouTube Carjitsu, and
done deal, bro. I'm on it.
They have to, and I think they have to have their windows all the way rolled down. Sure. And so,
and of
you
course,
can, like,
I mean,
you
why
can,
not?
Like, right. So you can grab the other person on the other side of the door and then submit them that way.
Bro, these Russians must be bored as hell. What are you doing wrestling in a car like that? That's just weird.
Hey, we kind of ventured into the unknown, and
they watch too many Jason Bourne movies, bro. I don't know.
That's hilarious, though. It is kind of funny.
I'll watch it, though. Shit.
Hell yeah.
So will I.
Let's toss a bear in there. Let's make it exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Toss a bear. Are you kidding me? Bear and a lion.
I don't joke.
But Cyrus, too, I wanted to ask you, because did you ever train? Because I know you you have a tie to I want to transition to a different topic. We're going to get to it eventually on the show. But I know you interviewed Cain Velasquez over last summer. Mm-hmm. And I know at Iowa, what?
Iowa Central.
Iowa Central. Yeah, where, you know, Colby Covington, John Jones, that's where you went to school.
Yep.
You know, that's big thing in the news this week. What's your take on everything that happened when you heard about it? Because, I mean, we don't know all the details, but, you know, over time we will. And I know you have a connection to Cain Velasquez, man. So.
Yeah, crazy. You know, I mean, it kind of blew me away, especially now that, I mean, it's funny. So, you know, we, like I said, we were both freshmen, I think, at the exact same time at Iowa Central. And I told the story on the podcast, but it's just like, I used to see this dude in the halls. I'm like, who the fuck is this dude, man? Just looked like. You know, it just always seemed like he was mad. Like, he's kind of like, you know, like a mad face on him, bro. And I was like, man, I never want to fuck with him, you know. But I never really talked to him back then, I'll be honest with you. But all these years later, I finally got the opportunity. I was in UAE Warriors. I was in Abu Dhabi, and he was cornering somebody. This was just last year. And And I just went up to him and I'm like, bro, you know, we were at school in the exact same time. I said, I want to have you on the podcast. I mean, when I say, seriously, everybody's echoing this, and it's not bullshit. Just the nicest dude, man.
Yeah.
Just legitimately really, really good guy, you know? So the interview that we did, like, I tried to get him to open up because it's not something he does a whole lot of. He doesn't do a whole lot of interviews, you know? So for him to give me like over an hour or whatever he gave me was pretty awesome. But the one thing that he kept on going back to is his family, you know, like it's all about his family right now.
Yep.
And when I was talking about him going back to fighting, he's like, I don't want to give this time up. You know, like I already missed too much. You know, I just want to be with my family. So like, for this to happen, first of all, you're like, oh shit, you know, what happened? Then you hear, okay, you know, somebody molested his kid. Well, I don't think that's the case. I think he's a family member. At the same time, right? I mean, it's one of those things that if you're, and I'm sure we got some dads in here, you know what I mean? Like one thing that people always say, I'll kill for my kid. If you ever touch my kid, I will fucking kill you. Like how many times have you heard that? How many times have you said it? How many times have you heard somebody say it?
Every day.
Yeah, right. So somebody, you know, I don't know if it's his nephew, his niece, I don't know, you know, but I'm sure we would do anything for our family. So I'm guessing, you know, if I had to postulate what went down, you know, probably found out that this guy got out on bail, right? And was like, fuck that. You know what I mean? Especially if it's his niece or nephew. If the guy was still in jail and went and served his time, I think it's one thing, but it sounds like the guy got released and had molested somebody like over 100 times, like some stupid number. It's like, man, it's like, it just pushed him over the edge. I don't think it's CTE. I think that's bullshit.
No,
I don't think it's CTE at all. I think the dude just, man, like, I think any of us would be like,
that's a normal reaction, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that he's going to get a lot less time. The dude doesn't have a record. He's a good dude. They're going to look back. They're going to see all these character witnesses. His legal team's going to get involved and say, listen, this guy's only giving back to the community. He fucking loves his family. Like, I really think I don't expect him to just like go to prison. Like, I don't think it goes down like that at all. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Mm. But I think everybody has come to his defense for good reason. I think the free cane thing is legit. I didn't put anything on social yet, man. I've been fucking bogged down with my own shit, but yeah, man, I totally stand with him. And I think we can all just identify what he's going through, but it blew me away. And I know he's a good dude, so I ain't even worried about it, man. You know, he's too good of a guy.
If you want to help the cause to free Kane, Derek Brunson is selling free Kane shirts online. So look him up.
Yeah, no doubt.
See, and timing wise though, having you on, Cyrus, though, cause I did hear your interview with Kane. And like you said, you talked about his family, even you, like yourself, you're traveling around the world. You said you never were made it for a good Halloween. Take your kids trick or treat, you know. So that's what it's all about, is being there for your family. So very unfortunate thing that happened kind of out of nowhere. But, yeah, definitely timing-wise having you on to talk about this as it is big news in the MMA community. So, I did know he did say in your interview as well that he had more football offers than he did for wrestling, right? Mm-hmm. Originally, like we could have seen Cain Velasquez on the – Dallas Cowboys.
You know, he would have been the best kicker ever.
Chicago Bears, right here.
Chicago Bears, there it is. They could use him right now, bro.
The Bears.
Yeah.
Could you imagine seeing Cain Velasquez in a fucking football uniform?
Man, I could. Like,
holy shit. Good, man. That is.
Dude, he'd be the most aggressive fucking kicker ever.
Right.
Speaking of Chicago Bears, he could have been like a reincarnation of like Dick Butkus or something like that.
Yeah, Mike Singletary, Dick Butkus or something, right?
Yeah. Up, yeah.
Hell yeah.
But he ended up being one of the baddest heavyweights to ever do it. So, yeah, just on the topic of it, having you on, Cyrus. So that's good for you to have you on and share your story. And your interview is great, man. If everybody's listening, go to, you know, you still do your podcast? Or
yeah, man, I do. So it's funny. We're about to like get the shit rolling again. I talked to Uriah at Knuckle Mania, so I think we're going to get Uriah Faber like pretty quickly. But then a lot of connections with Eagle, and there's a lot of names attached there. So definitely want to get Henry in there. Man, if you guys haven't talked to Cejudo before, that dude is fucking, he's very cool.
We would love to have Henry Cejudo on our show, man.
Like, yeah, I mean,
we would have loved to get him.
He's incredible.
yeah, it would be a pretty fun to
He's legit a genius, and I'm not. I mean, like, the guy is extremely intelligent. Like, he fucks around online, and he's got the triple C thing and the King of Cringe. I like that he just embraces it. You know what I mean? Like,
because
he kind of is. Like, he is cringeworthy. Like, he is cringy, but he embraces that shit. You know, but he'll also pull you aside. Like, we were in meetings and stuff, and like, he was just like literally walking things down step by step on how you need to win this fight. And he like was pulling Felicia Spencer aside, you know, because, you know, Felicia fought for the title and stuff. And she's kind of part of our team as well. Like, I did the Russian show with her remotely from Miami like 2 weeks ago. And like, he pulled her aside and he's like, this is what you're doing wrong. He's like, you got to do this. He breaks it down like into a fucking tree of things you got to do, what percentage you do into each thing. And it's paying off, man. Look, I mean, if Figueiredo picks up the title, you know, he's got Bones there. He's got John Jones there, like working with him, seeking him out, and Yuri Prohaska and, you know, Korean Zombie. Like, if he coaches up Korean Zombie to beat Volkanovski, bro, I mean, that's a feather in your cap, man. Like, I love the Korean Zombie, but Volkanovski is a bad dude.
I got the chills when you just said that, man.
I feel like he's going to make it happen. Like, I feel like he's going to make it happen just despite Dana White, just despite everybody. Like, you didn't want to give me the fight? All right, fuck it. I'm going to coach the Korean Zombie, and he's going to beat his ass. You know what I mean? I'm going to win somehow. You know what I mean? Like,
He has been calling. He's been wanting that Volkanovski fight, and I definitely would love to see him get in there and mix it up with the
I'll put the money down, bro. I really, really will. Like, and I hope you guys do too. You got that inside info, man. Like, this dude is a little genius, and I think he's got a game plan, and I think he's going to coach him to a title, bro. I think it's going to be awesome. It'd be sick.
Wow. That's awesome, man. So real quick, circling back to what you're saying with Dana White and the Contender Series, how they were telling you to tone it down a little bit. Another friend of ours that's been on the show, he's also a Cajun ring announcer, Mr. David Hardy Jr.
Of course, the dynamite
man. Yeah. That's another dude right there. That's like,
I'm telling you, man. My favorite guests are the ring announcers. We have fun with you guys, man.
I mean, you know, you gotta have a little personality, right? I mean,
that's the thing with the ring announcers. Like, when I cover events here locally, because me and David, we both live here in New Mexico, in Albuquerque, and we've had our share of covering events, you know, with Lion Fight, LFA, and the two regional promotions that are out here.
I bet you probably saw me ring announce back in the day for XFC. Did you go to that one?
No.
You didn't go to that?
No, because I was living in Houston.
Oh, okay.
At that time, yeah.
Yeah, it was like 2014, 2013, 2014, or something like that. Yeah, yep. Albuquerque was dope, man. Like, obviously, like, I was total tourist, and I did the whole Breaking Bad shit. So, like, I hit every place, man. I had this lady tell me to get out of front of Walter's house. I was like, bitch, you moved into Walter White's house. Like, really? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, I lived
like, you
around
put
the
a
corner.
Sign outside and make some money off that shit. What are you doing? Like... Come on.
Yeah, the long story short, with the Breaking Bad, there's too many people out there throwing pizzas on the roof. And I lived around the corner for several years. So,
did you really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pizza on the roof shit would be one thing, but I would legit have a little stand out there and be like, all right, $10, get your picture taken.
Exactly.
Hell yeah. This should be making super bank. Yeah, lots of money.
Fucking put cones on the so that way they don't get close to the car or to the house.
Yeah, no pizzas. Get that motherfucker out.
So yeah, like a lot of the ring announcers that me and David have been around here locally. Like, to me, a ring announcer is someone that gets the crowd hyped, gets the fighters hyped. I mean, that's something that's like their job is to get us pumped and ready for this next event or the next fight that's coming up, you know? And some of these guys that we get are just like, blah, blah, blah. Next guy, here we go. Like,
Of course.
What are you
bro?
Doing? And, you know, the way that you do it and the way that, the Dynamite does it and Kramer, that right there is like, dude, I'm just huge fan. Huge fan. And you know, Joe Martinez and Ray, you know, there's, you know, the other two guys that I
like. Everybody has their own style, man. You know,
They do.
One thing that Buffer told me, because when I first started, it's like, I think my first event was 07. And I did a show and I reached out to Buffer on his website, you know, back when you would do shit like that, reach out to somebody on their website, you know what I mean? Like, but I think it was bufferzone.com or something like that. But I reached out to him and he got back to me like within like, I don't know, 45 minutes. And he was just like, wrote me this long ass email. And he was just like, be yourself. He's like, don't try to copy anybody else. Don't try to take anybody else's shit. Just do your own thing. Bruce also is like very like touchy about his shit, you know, for good reason, you know, he's the one that got Michael Buffer paid, you know, for Let's Get Ready to Rumble. Like he's the one that made that shit happen. Like, I don't know if you guys have heard that story, but you know, they were long lost brothers. He came into his life and got him paid for it. Like Bruce is behind all that shit. So Bruce is real big on that. In fact, you know, my big tagline is it's time to knuckle up and throw down. I've been saying that since my first event I ever did in 2007. And it's time to shut up and throw down is what it was. And then I went to XFC and they're like, you can't tell the crowd to shut up. I said, all right, cool. All right, so we'll tell them to knuckle up. So it's time to knuckle up and throw down. But he's even talked to me about that. And he's like, is there any way you cannot say it's time in the beginning of that? And I'm like, I mean, I guess, you know what I mean? Like, it's not really, I'm not really fucking with your shit, but I get it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
everybody's touchy about that. And he has good reason. You know, a lot of people try to hell, that one guy that copied him got a fucking job doing it. You know what I mean? Like that dude that was going around to like the conventions doing the Buffer thing or whatever. Like
the mean Greek gave guy. Him a
job. Like just because he was a good impersonator, which is fucking crazy. You know what I mean? Right. Like if I did a good Jack Nicholson, are they going to cast me in a fucking movie? You know what I mean? Like it's crazy. But I know a lot of guys that were hot about that shit. But I mean, it's but Bruce has been good. But yeah, you got to have your own style. I like to bring a lot of energy. I don't have as much energy as Carlos. You know what I mean? Like we all have our own, you know what I mean? Like, does anybody have more energy than Carlos? I don't think so. Like that dude is like hype 110% from the beginning to the end, the middle fight, the second fight. I mean, like, I don't know how he does it, bro. I've seen him in action. We used to work on Brave together and this dude would sweat through like 7 shirts.
Yeah,
because
man.
He goes hard. I'm like, man, Carlos, I'm gonna need you not to die tonight, bro. If you could not die in the ring tonight, that would be great, bro. That'd be
speaking of dying, I mean, I'm sure Carlos told you the story where he had a heart attack and he was in the hospital, and then the next day he went and flew to ring announce for Brave
Abu Dhabi, you know, or something.
Across the world. I'm like, what the fuck? This guy's the fucking
what tournament. A gangster.
Dedication, bro.
And he brings the fucking energy after that whole ordeal that he had with
after
his
heart attack. Yeah.
I'm like,
wow. I'm gonna go ahead and stay at the house after the heart attack. I'm gonna kick it at the house for about 2 or 3 months and just like maybe get the heart back in order before I go in there and fucking rock the house again. I love Carlos, man. He's a different breed, man. He's a lion. He deserves that shit, and I love that dude. His whole family's wonderful. He's a really, really good guy, man.
Yeah, he is. He is. Right on, man. Do you guys got anything else for Mr. Cyrus here?
The next Eagle FC 46 Lee versus Sanchez, that's next week. At the Flex Center, right?
Yeah, at the Flex Arena. Man, it's you know, looking up and down the card, it's solid all the way through, and they just keep on adding people. You know, I'm excited to see Borg back again, honestly. Ray Borg just had like a complete resurgence in his career on the last event, you know, so I'm super excited about him. Who do we have? Raymond Magomed Aliyev, I believe is how you say that. That dude's serious too. I believe he was the one that came straight off of like PFL and like was like kicking ass in PFL. I don't even think he lost. He fought for the $1 million like twice, I think is what it was. And they got him. So yeah, man, like up and down the card, it looks good. And they just keep on adding people to it. They got their main event, their co-main events for the heavyweight championship. So I'm excited about that. They brought the guy from Russia to defend his title against Anthony Hamilton. So that should be good. And then Kevin and Diego, bro. I mean, you know, we'll see what goes down. I think a lot of people think it's just going to be Kevin Lee. I get it. I mean, on paper, I mean, that's kind of what I would say too.
Yeah.
But man, when you get around Diego Sanchez,
you never want to count that guy out. Man.
Yeah, he's man, he's like infectious, bro. His energy is infectious when you get around him. Like you want to believe him when he says, you know, I'm gonna win. It's like, all right, cool. Like maybe you are. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe you will. So
yeah, the only time I didn't find him so infectious is when he was training with his last coach. That dude was a
Fabian or whatever, weirdo. Or whatever his name is.
He was a weirdo. Remember that video they put out where he was like hanging upside down and he was just slapping him and punching him and shit? That was like the weirdest bromance ever.
Yeah, it's weird. Like there's coaches like that though. There's coaches that are kind of that do some weird shit like that, and it doesn't seem too weird to them. It just seems normal to them. But to us, it's like, what the fuck y'all doing, man? Yeah. I'm going to need y'all to call that shit
I don't know.
Now.
I mean, Connor really hasn't won one since he stopped hanging out with that dork with a ponytail.
Touch butt.
Ito Portal.
Ito Portal.
Yeah. His like jujitsu. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Speaking on like see up in Canada anytime soon.
What's that?
Is there any chance we'll see you up in Canada anytime soon?
That's a good question, man. Shit, I don't know. Right now, man, it looks like it's like U.S. and Abu Dhabi for me for a long time, which I'm okay with, you know. But Canada's easy. You know what I mean? Like, Canada's an easy trip. I'll do Canada all day. I did Montreal. That's like my only Canadian show that I did. It was with ACB and real small venue up in Canada. But it was cool, though. I got my the fries and the gravy, the poutine. I got the poutine. The poutine was legit. It was cool. Like, it was worth it. Like I got it like 2-3 days in a row, so it was cool. Yeah, man, I would love to get back up to Canada. It'd be sick. Love to do Toronto. I'd love to do Toronto.
Nice.
For sure.
And any before we let you go, Cyrus, any quick predictions for the big time grudge match? I don't know if you caught the presser previous to us going live right here. Jorge Masvidal, Colby Covington, them finally getting the match made, and it's taking place on Saturday.
Yeah. Ah, man, I don't know. You know, it's those two guys, man. They're interesting cats. It's so funny how tight they were, man. Like at one time, like they were fucking super tight, like best friends, you know. I got a buddy of mine that's a producer at UFC, and he showed me like one of the hype videos that he made. And it's just crazy, these videos of those guys hanging out and stuff. And now you got Colby just doing this totally different thing, right? I mean, Colby's like in another world with his character and what he does on screen and social media. But he's been backing it up lately. So, I don't know, man. I kind of lean Colby. I kind of lean towards Colby on this one. I don't think Masvidal's looked good the last couple of fights, man. He hasn't looked strong. He has an air about him. Obviously, he's a real deal, man. I buy into it as well. But I don't know, man. I lean Colby on this one. I think he might outpoint him. I don't think he finishes him by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he outpoints him. They go to all the rounds, and he gets a decision. I think Colby's on fire right now, man. He's fighting really, really good. I can totally see it happening. Yeah, I put my money on Colby.
Yep, same here.
Yeah.
Yep. I think we're all in favor of Colby winning Saturday. So it's going to be a good card, man. It's pretty stacked. Only, 13 fights or something like that?
Yeah,
But yep. It's going to be good, man. Well, Cyrus. Go ahead, David.
No, I'd say also leading into next week, we will be talking about Eagle FC because we try to pack as much info as we can into an hour and 30, 40 minutes. But we'll be talking about next week's card for sure. Very familiar with Diego Sanchez, Ray Borg.
Seen
the guy kickbox when he was 17 years old. Diego, I used to work with him at UPS like 15 years ago.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So, before he was the nightmare. So, we all kind of have our connections to Mr. Diego Sanchez. So, he'll be in there. I'm mixing up with Kevin Lee. I'm excited for the card.
Super easy. Yeah, super easy to get that. I mean, like, not just to sell on the app, but it's easy, man. That FlexCast app is easy. You sign up, and, like, everything's free. And it's seamless. Like, from what I understand, like, when people were watching the 44, like, it was like, that's all they could talk about is how easy it was to get it turned on.
Oh,
no stuttering, no bullshit. Like, it just worked. You know what I mean? So they know what they're doing with that. It'll be a good show. I don't know. On commentary, I know Chael and Henry and I are still doing it, but I don't know if it's going to be Usman or if it's going to be somebody else. Who knows who they might trot out there. You know what I mean? There's so many fighters down there. Like, it was such a who's who in the building for that show. Like, and they didn't even really show it on camera so much, but Kayla Harrison was there.
Oh, nice.
Brunson was there. Gilbert Burns was there. Lombard was there. Like, when you go down to South Florida, Knuckle Mania was the same thing. There are so many fucking fighters down there. Yep. Like, so many top level fighters. A lot of them are at Sanford MMA, but like, there's so many of these guys down there. So you're down there and it's just a who's who, and you're like, just running into these motherfuckers. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a fucking MMA champion down there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
what Eagle FC should do then is just keep you three as the main commentators.
Yeah.
And at every event, just bring a guest commentator. You know,
I love it, man. You know, a lot of people thought it was too much, but for a commentator, usually if you have that many people on the desk for you, like a play-by-play guy, it's hard to like keep them all like on task and like make sure everybody gets their shit in. But for us, it wasn't really hard. Like, I didn't have a problem at all. Like, I'm so used to leading people. So, like, I just carry the shit. You know, I make sure all the ad sponsors get in there, the tails of the tail, all that shit. I do all that. But I let these guys do the rest of it. They're the fucking, you know, the former champions, you know. Mm-hmm. Chael's never been beat ever in his entire life. You know what I mean? Like, so you throw that in there, man. It's just fun, man. I just let these guys riff, do their thing. And I just lay back. And it's like the easiest job in the world for me, man. I love it.
Hell yeah, man. You know, and then the good point that you said was how Khabib told you guys to just commentate, like if you were just talking to your boys.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt when I was watching the event. Like, you know, everybody was saying it was seamless. It was fucking easy to get on the Flex app or even on the laptop, man. It was just two clicks, bam, live. And then I was listening to you guys. I was like, man, I feel like I'm just hanging out with my boys watching the fights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, good, dude. Yeah, I love it, man. I love that you guys are checking it out. And all that's going to do is fuel the flames, man, and keep this thing moving forward and bigger and better. And it'll be some fun shit.
Hell yeah, man. We were supposed to have Ray 2 weeks ago, but he was running so late on training and stuff like that for this next week's fight. So hopefully we can get him back on or get him on in a couple of weeks or so. But yeah, man, Ray, he's always been one of my good favorite fighters to watch. You know, gotta support the local fighters, man.
He's got a chip on his shoulder, man. No doubt.
He does.
Like, yeah. So he's fighting, you know, like he's trying to show motherfuckers who he is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So he even told us, like in the fighter meetings, he's like, listen, I was young. I made mistakes, you know, like period. He goes, I'm older now. I know what I'm doing. Like, no weight cut issues anymore. Like, he gets it now. You know what I mean? So he realized what he lost. He really does. Mm-hmm. And now I think he does want to get back there and prove something. But I think he's also embracing Eagle. And I think Eagle's going to take care of him and give him a good platform. Yeah, even if he doesn't go back to UFC, I think that we'll give him a good platform and make it worth his while. You know what I mean? They're paying guys pretty good. So, you know, it's cool.
That's what we've heard, that Khabib is taking care of his fighters. So,
absolutely.
And that's the one thing that we're big on here is fighter pay.
It
just, you know, it's just always been that way since the beginning.
So you guys are about that Jake Paul life then, right?
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
We told you we like carnival shows, man.
I love that Jake Paul shit, man. Bring it on, man.
Right?
I want to fight everybody.
And Cyrus will definitely take you up on that offer if we're down in Miami. Rob, 100%. Myself, Rudy, we'll hit you up. If you come to Albuquerque, you let us know. If you're down in Texas, for sure, man.
And if you ever go to Canada, our boy's going to get you unlimited poutine at Tim Hortons.
All the poutine.
All the poutine. All the poutine and maple syrup you can shake a stick at.
Love it.
Well, Cyrus, tell everybody where they can follow you on social media and any shout outs you want to give out, man, go for it.
Yeah, it's all at Cyrus the Show on every platform. Real simple. Like I tell everybody, I need more followers to follow my ass. Nobody cares about the play-by-play guy, bro. They, you know, listen, I figured this out a long time ago. Nobody gives a fuck about the play-by-play guy, so it's okay. I'm just trying to ride everybody else's coattails, man. But at Cyrus the Show, check it out. And In This Corner with Cyrus Fees on Apple Podcasts, on any podcast platform. And go back and listen to him, man. We had Shamrock, Severn, Tank Abbott, Mark Kerr. Like, we've had some fucking killers on our shit. And I have a feeling like we're going to make it even better. We even had fucking Felony Charles Bennett on that shit. You know what I mean? Jeez. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I went after everybody. Hey, I had Mayhem before he went back to fucking jail. Like
wow.
Before he went back to jail. Like, I wanted everybody that was wild. Like, give me the wildest motherfuckers I can get. You know, like, that's War where it's at.
Charles Bennett's pretty fucking wild, man.
Hey, who said War Machine? War Machine?
I did.
Oh,
I did. No, I mean, yeah, War Machine. I don't know what they're doing in prison, bro. I don't know if we can get him out of prison. Maybe. I got Baroni. I mean, I was close.
Oh, shit. Dang. Phil Baroni.
Hey, if you haven't subscribed, hey, that it's the guy. Gift that keeps on giving, bro. Shoni Carter. Shoni Carter.
Shoni. I haven't talked to Shoni in a while, man.
Yeah, man. Please, hey, seriously, subscribe. You'll love these stories, man. Like, I pull crazy stories out of these guys, man. They're pretty hilarious. Jens Pulver was emotional as fuck. You kind of look like Jens Pulver, by the way. Look at you. Like, you kind of got that Jens Pulver look with the red hat and everything. Looking like Little Evil. Looking like Little Evil down there, bro.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, thank you guys for having me on, man. I appreciate it. This was a lot of fun. I didn't have to be real proper. I got to be my fucking self and have fun. Yes. So I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
No toning this shit down.
No, fuck no. That's what Sitting Ringside's all about, man. You come to our show, be your fucking self.
All day.
Don't be Mr. Ooh, you know, yeah. fuck no.
We want Mr. International.
Ringside.
Yeah. Hey, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us, man. You're a cool dude, man.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Thanks, brother. Have a good night.
Yep. Thank you, Cyrus. Yeah. Appreciate your time, sir.
Oh, man, that was fucking fun.
Oh, that was
I always have fun. I'm telling you, man.
That was a fun guest.
All my favorite guests are our ring announcers. He's got a special place in my heart, man.
That was fun. Mm-hmm. He was a good guest. I like that.
We need to tell him we need to work our way to Khabib somehow, and we get that Fight Book MMA logo and that Eagle FC cage.
Oh, my God.
Be like,
you want logo and cage, you fight my bear.
Give me a heart attack,
You
Dave.
Fight my bear. Jesus, you don't even have to win. You don't have to win. Wow. Just fight him.
Fight my bear.
One run. One round.
That's coming soon in the near future. So
In the near future, you will see Fight Book MMA logo on a cage, or just the word fightbookmma.com. It's coming soon, guys.
Hey, on Eagle Khabib, FC. Me, Roberto, and David will fight a bear in your cage.
Yes,
I'll fight whoever the fuck you want.
Well, you're the bear, so.
What the fuck? Wait, are you calling me fat because I'm a bear? Is that
no, you're wearing Chicago me? Bears gear, dude. Look at you.
Oh, okay. I thought you were fat for a second. Jeez.
There you go.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We will have Khabib on the show soon enough, and we'll get that Fight Book deal done, and we'll all have a Fight Book jet.
Yeah, buddy.
That would be some shit if we ever had Khabib on the show. I think I'd probably have a heart attack, honestly, if we had Khabib on the show, because I'd be like, I don't know what to say to him.
Yeah. Well, Miami soon enough, then, Rob.
Yep.
I got to tell you, man, I definitely got to see the Eagle FC and some of the fighters. I mean, they're most of the guys we have, you know, ties to or so. So it would be really cool to go out there and check it out.
I might be able to, bro. Sending me to Puerto Rico.
I got to get down there to you guys at some point.
Yeah, for sure, man. We got to plan out not next week, but either the next one or the following. Let's plan it out, and let's go out there to Eagle FC, man, and hook up with Cyrus. That'd be dope.
And we'll hit up Colby Covington, because I think we need a transition to UFC 272. Yes. I don't know if you guys caught the full presser. The presser ended right before our show because the UFC knows to end their shit right before we go live.
Yeah. Well, this weekend is UFC 272, Covington versus Masvidal. They got 13 fights scheduled on their card for Saturday night. Because of time, we're going to just go through the main card and give our predictions. But first, before we do that, let's talk about the fight poster.
I like it, man.
I like it too, man. I was looking at it.
I'm going to give it a 9. It's not perfect.
Yeah, dude. Same here.
Roberto, the one I sent you, is that the official one that I sent you?
I like the way they're staring into each other's eyes like they want to make out. MAGA love. This is MAGA country.
I really do like this poster. I really do. It's clean. It's the two fighters don't look too cartoonish. They just did it just right. The lettering is perfect. Everything is good, man. And I love what it says in the middle. Former friends, bitter rivals. Bro, come on now. Somebody was listening to us.
Mm-hmm. They should put at the bottom former. I'm gonna Photoshop that former friends, bitter rivals, secret lovers.
Yeah, I think people are trying to started to figure out a Photoshop or something and trying to steal some ideas and trying to be cool. So yeah, but it's all good. But yeah, I do like the poster. I mean, it's like a Mark. It's like Shawn Michaels and Big Daddy Cool, right? Good friends, better enemies.
Yeah. No, right, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
Well, no. Well,
they were good friends and became really good enemies.
I'd say like more along the lines of Bret and Shawn, yeah. Because I know Bret.
They were good friends and they became really good fucking enemies, like legit beef, like they legit hate each other.
Speaking of legit hate, our first fight to open up the card, Greg Hardy versus Sergey Spivak. I know a lot of people hate Greg Hardy. Me and David don't.
I got Spivak.
I'm gonna pick Greg Hardy too.
Oh fuck you!
Yeah, I'm gonna pick Greg Hardy, the Prince of War. He's gonna destroy the polar bear, Sergey Spivak. Nah, I'm just kidding, dude. I think Sergey Spivak's gonna win.
Fuck yeah, he is, dude. Sergey's gonna fucking destroy Greg Hardy. Take him to the third round and wish that he had his fucking inhaler with him.
Greg Hardy played for the Dallas Cowboys, so fuck him. Go fucking Spivak.
Greg Hardy, even though he's lost a few fights, he's still won more fights than the Dallas Cowboys have wins. So
fuck.
Right. And Bryce Mitchell showed him love in the embedded. So I'm definitely going fucking Greg Hardy. If Bryce Mitchell loves Greg Hardy, I definitely love Greg Hardy.
I liked how Greg Hardy, like, right away made that little quick turn. Hey, do you want to take a picture after? We're done. Bryce Mitch is like, fuck yeah, let's go.
See?
That's awesome. Well, you know what, man? I never picked Greg Hardy, and I will never pick Greg Hardy. So I'm going to pick Sergey Spivak winning this fight.
Yeah.
Thank you, Roberto.
I got Sergey just based on the Hardy's last two performances. It's not like his last two performances were decision wins or, you know, long fought. He got knocked the fuck out, you know, both times. Sergey Spivak, he got knocked out by Tom Aspinall, but before that he fought Alexei Oleinik to a decision and won that. I don't know. Sergey has a huge fucking head, bro, and I've seen that guy get hit. And it just looks like, damn, that should have knocked this dude out, but he keeps on coming.
Sergey's gonna beat him by decision.
And he's got the nickname of a good buddy of mine, Paul Varlance, a polar bear. So, let's go, Sergey. Rest in peace, Paul Varlance.
Honestly, you can't really knock Greg Hardy though, given that he has taken the last two fights losses. He's fought some of the best guys, like kind of maybe sooner than he should have. But man, he's got losses to Tarbira, Tuivasa is probably going to be a fucking title challenger. Volkov is nearly in there for the title. So Greg Hardy, man, he's fought some tough bastards at heavyweight. But
Greg Hardy gets cut after this weekend.
That's the thing I was going to get to. Like, he possibly could be cut, but we shall see. Dana White loves him. He does love Greg Hardy. He really does. So.
Yep. He does. Hey, real quick, Cyrus says that he appreciates us killers, that it was fun. He put it on the chat there on the live Facebook. Yep.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, brother.
That was awesome. Yep.
But back to the card. Yes.
Yeah, moving on to the next fight. Definitely a fight that, when I heard this fight was announced, I mean, geez, man. Like, I don't know who to pick in this fight. Two guys that I just got so much love for, man. Bro. Alex Cowboy Oliveira, Kevin Holland. That was 70. Like,
I went back and forth in this fight.
Why? Like, why did they have to put these two killers facing each other? But I know.
I think we, actually, you know what? If we go back, I don't know what episode
didn't
it was.
We call this, we called this
we fight. Said this fight. Yeah, we said it should happen. And it actually, it maybe in fact have been like last summer, but we said at some point Kevin Holland and Alex Cowboy would fight. Man, such a fucking badass matchup. And Alex, hearing from his pre-fight interviews and that, he's ready to throw down and bang with Kevin Holland. Mm-hmm. And if it goes to the mat, it could get kind of crazy because, yeah, Kevin Holland's a fucking
If it goes to the mat, Oliveira wins. If it stays in the feet, Holland could probably finish him. But both can finish the fight. But if it goes to the mat, Holland's fucked.
I think Holland, I don't know if he's going to play it safe or so. I know they're asking questions. Oh, is this a must win? Are you going to not take chances or so? Honestly, I think both guys are throwing fucking everything out the window and they're going to bang. This is fucking indeed, Kevin Holland always puts on a show. Alex Oliveira always goes out on his shield. You got to finish the guy. He's not going to a decision. So I'm going to go Kevin Holland in a split, in a war.
Dude, this
I hate this. I got Holland by KO, TKO.
Yeah, this fight for sure, nobody should miss. Like, nobody should just.
No.
You should be sitting in front of whatever device you're watching the UFC.
Yeah.
And watch this fight because it's going to be an exciting, banging war of a fight.
Don't make a sandwich. Don't get a drink. Hold your fucking piss. Let's fucking watch this fight.
Straight up. Rudy, what you got, man?
I know, man. I like both of these guys, bro. I really like both of these guys. And you know, Oliveira is not one of the kind of fighter to play it safe, man. He'll go out there and he wants a bang, bro. He doesn't want to play it safe. And that might be a big mistake for him, dude.
True.
And you know, just I don't know, man. It's really this one's a real hard toss up, bro. It really is. If I'm gonna put my money on somebody, I'd probably have to put it on Kevin Holland, man. I think he's got more to lose. I think they're both on the chopping block. I think what Oliveira's three losses in a row, and Holland is two losses in a row. But Holland, you know, he fought six times in 2020, the most active fighter in the UFC
history.
Yeah, man. That's I don't know, man. This one. I'm just gonna call it a fucking draw because I like both of them. I can't pick.
No, there's the draw.
You put a mark.
I'm gonna call it a draw, bro. I'm gonna call it a draw. I think this fight, it'll be exciting, man. It'll be exciting. And if anything, of all the fights, this is the fight that I could see going to an actual fucking draw. That's how good these guys are, you know.
Yeah.
And you Rob, go ahead, man.
I was just going to say, I don't think anybody's going to get cut losing this fight. I don't think nobody's going to lose or get cut off a loss. Yeah. I think they're going to put on a fucking banging show that Dana White's going to be like, all right, let's get him another fight.
Oh, yeah. Cowboy's never getting cut. I don't think so. Dana White's got that soft spot for the Cowboy. But honestly,
Cowboy's like Sam Alvey. Yeah. Never going to get cut.
Yeah. Straight up, yeah. You got to lose like 8 in a row and then maybe you still might not get cut.
20 in a row.
But honestly, if Kevin Holland comes out to Old Town Road, he's going to spark out Cowboy Oliveira, though. I think that might be the walkout song.
That should be.
So over under, what's his walkout song? Old Town Road or some other shit? Well,
Old Town Road, though. Definitely guarantee you he's walking out to Old Town Road, I heard.
All right.
Yeah.
So
he's got to turn up, man, against the Cowboy, and Holland's going to be in there talking a lot of trash. Oliveira's not going to understand a damn thing, and they're going to throw down bad. So keep an eye out for that walkout. Holland's always liking to. He's fighting trolls in the gym. He's trolling everybody. But the guy goes in there and delivers it and can bang on the feet. He's fucking nasty, man. So shout out to Justin Adams, Kevin Holland. I'm shooting for y'all to get that win, though.
Oh, dude, I don't know who to fucking pick. Just because I'm going to go with Rudy, man. I'm going to do a draw. I'm just like,
yeah,
just,
right, like, dude. I mean, if I of all the fights, this one is one that you could see going to a fucking draw. I feel comfortable saying that. I don't always say a draw, but this is one fight I feel comfortable saying.
Y'all called a mark. Y'all called a mark audible.
Yep.
Hey, you know what would be the most crazy? We always talk about finishes and just crazy different ways, but a double doctor stoppage. We've never said that before.
Ooh,
wow. Imagine that. Double nut shot. They can't continue.
They just, there's not, there's too much blood, and they just, yeah, double, the first ever double doctor stoppage. Yeah.
They both, crazy. They both get out of the fucking clinch and elbow each other straight up in the fucking eyebrow.
Right. You know what would be even crazier? A double doctor stoppage while the corners are throwing in the towel at the same time. And then they have to go back and do the replays. They're going to do the replays and see, okay, let's see. Did the towel hit the floor first or did the ref call it off first?
It'll implement new rules will be applied going through.
Right?
This is going to be a history making fight, ladies and gentlemen, is what we're trying to say.
Yep. It is.
It is. Yeah. It is.
But yeah, don't never forget I said double doctor stoppage because it could fucking happen.
It could.
Yeah. Triangle time.
I see you finish my somersault scissor kick.
Yeah, that pyramid take if I've ever had one.
This fight right here is totally a pyramid take for sure, Rudy.
Oh, man.
We got to put it on there. All right, next up.
But moving on, excellent matchmaking here. We haven't seen Bryce Mitchell in a while. He has not lost a fight ever. And he's fighting one of the greatest fucking featherweights there's ever been. Highlight knockouts, Edson Barboza. Man, is this a damn good fight. And I've been waiting a while to see this guy.
Fucking leg kick destroyer.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know, man. Why does Bryce Mitchell look like Tim Heidecker? Have you ever seen that show, Tim and Eric?
Yes. Yeah, dude, you're fucked up, man.
He does. He looks
that
like
Rudy's, bro. He's on the money though. Rudy's always got that look-alike.
Look at these pictures of Tim Heidecker. Look at Tim Heidecker. I have him right here. Look at this guy. He looks just like Bryce Mitchell. What the fuck, weirdo?
Man. But can Eddie Barboza give Bryce Mitchell that L? Because this fight going to the mat is going to be insane if it does go instantly to the mat, which I think it will. But standing, Barboza is deadly. We know what he's capable of doing. But Bryce Mitchell, those camo shorts, he's got like a certain type of power with those fucking camo shorts on, just invincibility. You know what I mean? And he's 14-0, man. He's fighting basically to become a top 10 guy and, you know, climb that ladder. Eventually we get a title shot. Cause I've seen him as a guy that, I mean, it's been a while since we've seen him, but eventually down the road, he will indeed compete for the title, but it starts with getting Edson Barboza out of there. Possible submission, you know, cause that's just what Bryce Mitchell does.
Well, I love Bryce, but I don't know, man. Barboza's he's a different animal, bro, compared to the guys that he's fought and he's the guys that he's fought. I mean, the majority of his fights are all decision wins. Barboza's not the type of fighter you're going to pull off a decision win against. And if you do, it's going to be fucking boring, bro. And nobody's going to want to watch you if you're boring like that. I don't think Bryce
as good as
Mitchell
this matchmaking
cares,
is, it could be a sandwicher, you're saying, really? Quiznos,
yeah, dude.
Right?
I hope it's not, man. I hope it's not.
Fucking poutine time.
And I think that all boils down to Barboza. You know, if Barboza can you know, kind of just fend off Bryce Mitchell's ground takedown attempts, and it's gonna be a great fight, man. Barboza will light him up. If he starts kicking this dude in the legs, man, look out,
dude,
bro.
Yeah,
but you know what, if you've noticed the last couple of fights or three fights with Barboza, he really didn't use his leg kicks.
No. He hasn't been. That's true. Yeah.
He hasn't been kicking like how he used to kick. You know, it was always just that fucking devastating leg kicks. And the last 3-4 fights, they weren't really there. So I don't know if it's an injury issue or he just doesn't want to kick anymore. I don't know.
Cautious maybe for the takedown.
I think this is the fight. It could be, but this is the fight where he probably is going on to unload those kicks against Bryce Mitchell. Knowing the way Bryce Mitchell fights, loves to take his fighters to the mat, likes to do that ground and pound and submission. So who knows, man? Maybe Edson's going to say, all right, it's time to bring the leg kicks back and chop that tree down.
Yeah, I wonder if he's actually where he's at in his contract. That's what I'm curious about going into this fight, because Edson Barboza seems like a guy that, as good as he's been, top-notch guy, fought the best in the world, he's a guy I can easily see leaving the UFC. He's that type of dude. Yeah. And if Bryce Mitchell goes out there and dominates, I can see Edson Barboza taking, leaving. This might be his last fight in the UFC.
It could be, yeah. You're right, man.
Because last time he fought Giga Chikadze was like, you know, a world beater out there, you know, the next champion. What happened to him? You know what I mean? And he got beat, it was like a late stoppage or something like that. But yeah, I don't know. Round. This is a tricky fight. Tricky matchup for him. I definitely favor Bryce Mitchell. I think the late kicks will work against Barboza if he throws a mirror. I think he knows that. But Bryce Mitchell for sure, man. I want to see him with the title one day by his lake fishing. And, yeah, I don't know if you guys watched the embedded, but just a humble dude, man.
Yeah, I really like Bryce Mitchell, man. I really like him, but.
And I'm wearing camo, too, so fuck yeah. Bryce Mitchell all the way, baby. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Fucking Tim Heidecker looking like.
Yeah, man.
All right, next.
But co-main event, we know it dropped. The fight we wanted to see dropped. We wanted Islam Makhachev and RDA.
Well, we had a talk about that already, Dave.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's pyramids right there, too, I think, Mark.
But we talked about why, you know.
Yeah.
We got RDA versus Moist Cano.
Moist Cano by decision.
What? It's a trap fight for RDA. It really is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Because after beating Alex Hernandez, and, you know, he's coming right back into the mix, Moist Cano, it's definitely a dangerous fight for RDA. So he was like preparing for
3 weeks, bro. It was 3 weeks ago that he fought.
Yeah, right here in fucking H-Town. Yeah, yep. right around the corner. Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting the way that they brought Moist Cano to come in to fight RDA after the two dropouts. Was it two or one?
I think two, possibly, Roberto. I only talked to you and Dave about it, but I don't know.
The situation with Fiziev is just strange too. You know what I mean? Because like that's a big time fight for RDA. I don't know if a win over Moicano pushes him up there, but Moicano beating RDA for sure, man. Like he's going in there and just fucking balls to the wall. So I don't know, man. It's a trap fight for RDA. Somehow I see Moicano getting the win at somehow. And upset. I mean, I'm sure the odds are against the dude. I mean, quick turnaround. RDA is a former champion, but I'm gonna take Moicano in the fight. Maybe a decision or so, but
McConnell by RDA, decision.
Yeah, that's right.
I got RDA decision.
Ooh, three against one. Okay.
Oh, three against one there, Rudy. Now what are you going to do?
I don't know what they do with the...
Laugh at us when RDA wins.
I know, right?
It's like what does the UFC do with the... Poirier
and fucking Oliveira fight.
And then another question is, what does the UFC do with Fiziev? The guy's a superstar. This is a big-time fight. Like, how long are we going to have to wait for him to fight? Is he still, like, travel restrictions, COVID, whatever it was?
War.
He'll fight by May. I guarantee it. By May, he'll be
They got to get him a fight. Yeah, a big-time fight. Whether it's fucking Ferguson or whatever. Like, I don't even know if that Ferguson-Chandler fight is still real.
Oh, Chandler's going to beat Ferguson, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, we know that.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, guys. Sorry.
Tony Ferguson's fighting somebody, and it might even be Fiziev. I think that's the way it'll work out.
So. Nah, it's gonna be two Ortiz.
So the main event: Chaos Colby Covington versus Jorge Gamebred Masvidal. Who you got?
Colby Covington.
Oh boy,
I got Covington winning, man.
I think he won the presser too. Ken A.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, the trash talk and shit, I don't really fucking care. It's kind of, it was funny. Like, there's more cops there than there was for like Nate and Connor. Like, there's just cops everywhere on the fucking stage.
Bro, I like the suit and his fucking chains, bro. His that gold chain he's got is pretty dope, man.
Right?
Yeah, bro. I don't know. I like Colby. I like circus shows, man. I like entertainment, man. And he's entertaining. Whether you love him, whether you hate him, you know, he's awesome.
And dude, and you know, just Colby brings it, and he always backs up what he says. Always.
He does. As much as you want to hate on the guy, he does back it up. I've got Jorge on my topology, but I may switch up.
You're not changing nothing, bro.
But I've got Jorge right now, my topology picks. So I did it like 2 days ago. My picks have been done for like 2-3 days. So I may switch it to Colby by tomorrow, by Saturday, sorry, but I don't know yet.
You're nothing but a traitor, snoozeman.
I'm not fucked by either one of these.
You're a fucking traitor, snoozeman!
Who the fuck is snoozeman? Fuck you, Rudy.
You're Susan.
You owe me a fight on UFC 4. Fuck you.
You're a snooze, man.
Fuck you, Rudy.
They've been talking up this fight for a long time. I'm just happy they finally got it done. I don't know. Colby said he doesn't care about the pay-per-view points. Apparently, Masvidal's getting the pay-per-view points, but Colby's just showing out in there. Been calling him out for 3 years. It's happening before it's too late. And too bad the BMF title ain't on the line, because I think they probably could have done that. Well, yeah, there's something's on the line, you know what I mean? But then again, Colby, he delivers. You got to hate him just to love him. But, man, Masvidal, I don't know, man. He's in trouble on Saturday, though. I think he knows he's in trouble. Whether he's been preparing for Colby, I think Colby's been ready for him for 2 years. They've been training for him. That's the difference here. And Masvidal's got a lot of stuff going on. He's obviously going to get a good payday. That's why he's taking the fight. He can fight his ass off, and they don't knock to Jorge Masvidal. But, I think Colby Covington goes in there and gets the job done. Finish would be great, but I think it'll be a decision where he dominates.
Yeah, same
Colby here. Covington all
I
the
see,
way.
I see a decision win by Colby Covington, somebody who just took the champ to a 5-round decision.
Nearly won the fight itself.
You know? And I mean, if you just compare their last two fights against the champ, you know, his decision for Colby, he took him to decision. Usman finished Masvidal second round, and he made Masvidal look like shit, bro.
He did.
He made him look like shit.
We haven't seen Jorge in a while.
He foot stomped that dude until fucking. He foot stomped him out of existence, is what he did. He made him irrelevant.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that it was a short notice foot stomper session, because the second time around on the full camp, he got knocked out.
Yeah, and it was two fights, right? That's two. That's right. He fought.
Yeah.
He fought Usman two times back to back. The first time it was a unanimous decision, for Usman, I remember if he goes in there and starts fucking working on his hands, he's gonna fuck this dude up, and he did, and yeah, bro, I Colby Covington all day, all the way. There's no way.
The only fight I'm torn on, guys. The only thing. Fucking Colby fight.
The only way I see this guy winning is by just insane fucking Askren fucking type knockout.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, flying knee.
All of a sudden, fucking shit. Jorge just wrestles him to death, right? A la fucking Francis Ngannou. Just fucking takes him down and beats his ass. I'm kidding.
But then again, like, it's interesting because that's the fight dynamics. I mean, like, Jorge Masvidal has stopped, like, top wrestlers and grapplers. I don't know if he's going to be able to stop Colby. He showed that he has a good gas tank. He could be in there with Usman for 5 rounds. But that's the part of the fight where it's really going to change. If he's able to stop the takedowns, Colby can't hold him down, then it gets interesting. But I think Colby would be able to dominate him. He dominated Tyron Woodley, and I think he can gas Masvidal out and put him away. Would like to see a finish, but indeed, I'm with Rudy. I got a decision, but hate him or love him, most of them hate him out there. They fucking want him to die or whatever the fuck. Colby Covington delivers this show, and he will win on Saturday.
Hell to the year. Yeah. Man, time has caught up to us, man. Really, Jesus really Christ.
Has, we got another 2 hours to go. Come on.
We're just getting started.
We're just getting started.
Let's bring on our second guest of the night.
Fucking Colby himself coming on right now.
We're going to take a 10-minute break and then come back.
We're going to have a little intermission. We'll be right back with our second guest, and we're going to cover UFC 273. And then after that, another 5-minute intermission, guest number 3, and UFC 274.
Whoa.
Yeah, Oh, shit. Just think of the headline, or like they're talking about, Masvidal said, critical condition, Colby. Remember last time Connor said, what, Poirier is leaving on a stretcher? Connor left on a fucking stretcher.
Yeah, yeah, he did.
You know, so. So Masvidal is quoting some shit, so he's got to go out there and show out big time. I don't think he delivers it, so that's what I'm saying. And then all the fucking dick riders, keyboard fucking warriors out there are going to be all on Colby Covington's side after that. So I guarantee it. They'll love him. They'll be his number one fan then. So.
Yep. All right. Well, guys, what an awesome show tonight. Yep. We touched on a lot of topics today. And shout out again, man, to our guest, Cyrus Fees. Fucking dope ass guy. Yeah, he is. He's a badass. All our guests are badass, but our favorite ones have always been the Cutman, ring announcers, you know, the commentators. They're just, it's just fun to have them on the show. So shout out again to Cyrus Fees. Please follow him. Watch Eagle FC next week. We will be covering that event next Thursday night and talking about it and give our predictions for Eagle FC. So other than that, shout outs to everybody that's watching and listening. And David, you know what to do, homie.
Yes, sir. Yes, 122 in the books. We appreciate everybody listening, tuning in. If you want to check us out on podcast platform, the audio format, look up Sitting Ringside, Fightbook MMA. Show us some love there. Like, share, subscribe. For myself, Dave Rodriguez, Robert Villa, the boss, Rudy Lahr, producer at hand, Mark Ambrose Miller. We are Sitting Ringside from H-Town to New Mex to Canada, back to Burke. Enjoy the fights. We'll see you there.
Peace.
Peace out.